Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up on a beautiful July day, brought to you by...
Brought to you by Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan, along with happytrees.co, a great landscaping company. We use them. They do a wonderful job. Couldn't recommend them more. And it's not .com, it's .co. So happytrees.co.
Just a great group.
Yep.
We've got with us, back by popular demand, former Senator, State Senator Kevin Lundberg. He issues a Lundberg report once a week that you should get. You can just go on his website.
KevinLundberg.com.
KevinLundberg.com.
That's right.
And we wanted to talk to him about the upcoming general election. The grassroots had a great assembly period where lots of grassroots people pulled up major upsets. And then it came to the total primary, and it was a disaster. I think Kevin endorsed 10 people. I'm not sure if more than one or two survived the bloodbath.
That was about it. Yeah. And nine of them were top of the line on the ballot. So they were the choice of their assembly.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I wanted to talk to you because you cited in your letter, your newsletter, a good story by the Epoch Times and talking about it's not just in Colorado, but there are nine states now are having, well, Colorado doesn't yet, but buyer's remorse over this whole open primary. I think some of the numbers in Colorado, maybe I'll let you talk about them, are astonishing when you look at the number of people who were unaffiliated voters voting in the Republican race. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Right. Well, first, let's look at the overall numbers. We've got somewhere in the 900,000 Republicans, registered Republicans in Colorado. For the Democrats, it's a little over a million. So those are roughly the same. But the unaffiliated voters are 1.6 million. So they're by far the largest number. And I know I was with a friend of mine over in the Western Slope about a week ago. He used to be a Republican. He got a little bit disgusted with everything and decided to become an unaffiliated, and discovers that he gets both the Democrat and a Republican primary ballot.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, why should I change?
Yeah.
You know, I get more options here. Now, you can only vote one.
Right.
And I understand, like up here in Larimer County, where I'm in, that a pretty high percentage of unaffiliated sent in both ballots. And that just means it cancels them out, you know. It could be worse up in King County, which is in Washington State. There are actually the first time they had an open primary like this, it was like 12% of those who voted with both ballots. And
yeah.
So they just totally messed it up.
Right.
Anyway, that's kind of what's happening here. But here for this election, there are some counties, particularly over in the third congressional district on the Western Slope, where more unaffiliated voters voted in the Republican election than Republicans voted. Now, higher percentage Republicans are voting. A lot of unaffiliated just kind of ignore the whole thing.
Right.
But it's gotten so bad that it's not just that some unaffiliates are coming in and participating in the election, they are deciding the election.
Right.
And that's just totally upside down and nuts.
Right.
If a political party exists for any reason, it's to select the candidates that they would choose for the general election.
Right.
And instead, what we've got is the exact opposite. The Republicans are kind of pushed to the sideline. When I talk to your rank and file Republican and say, who do you think should be selecting our candidates? Well, it's members of the party.
Right.
But that's not the case anymore. And, you know, you mentioned the nine states. That's not including Colorado.
Right.
Those are other states where the conservative ranks within the Republican Party are saying, wait a minute, this is not working out. This is a mess.
Right.
And a lot of Alabama is one in which you're thinking of changing it back or trying to, but it's a very hard process, as you know, to try to change it back.
As you guys know, you've tried.
And it's an amazing sort of a takeover. The Democrats and liberals always, and the moderates always pay a lot of attention to the process. Your average Republican pays a lot of to the campaign. Well, and often the campaign doesn't matter. The process dominates the whole thing.
Well, because let's point out a few things for folks who maybe are like, well, what's the big deal then? Because number one, the Democrats really don't do much in the way, they don't, for the most part, have primaries. They're pretty darn organized. That could change, at least for right now. And so we're seeing a couple things. In some cases, you've got the Democrats actively meddling, where they're trying to get the what they consider to be the weaker candidate elected through uninformed, unaffiliated voters and uninformed Republican voters. Or on the other hand, they're trying to get more moderate. And so let me pose this question. I mean, I know how I would answer, but let me see how you would. So someone might say, well, hey, that's okay, though, because the unaffiliated voter who voted for the more moderate, not the conservative, but the so-called moderate, well, they'll vote for them in the general election. So at least we'll have somebody with an R in front of their name who might win. But what's wrong with that argument?
Well, it doesn't reflect the Republican Party. I mean, it's as simple as that. And it undercuts the activists in the party. You know, the way politics works, elections, most people just go and vote. But there's a core group within each party that are really actively engaged and involved. And they really are the ones who have invested the most into the process. And they're the ones who feel the most disenfranchised through this whole process. You know, when you get a candidate who maybe agrees with you about 20% of the time, you know, I mean, obviously we all have some disagreements, and we kind of come to the understanding that within the party, if you agree with other people, you know, 70-80% of the time, you're on the same team.
Right.
But when you pick somebody that's just so far off from that they represent something other than the party membership, you've got a losing combination, not a winning combination.
Well, let me ask you about that. What are you going to do for this upcoming general election? You've got a lot of people who support, not a lot of people, you have a Senate candidate who supports abortion rights.
Who supports Michael Bennett.
and who gives money to Michael Bennett. You've got a Secretary of State candidate who's on Zuckerberg organization, and you've got various other ones. You've got Barb Kirkmeyer, who here in the 8th, who got an F in the Liberty scorecard while sending out, you know, false mailers, or at least had groups do it, saying that Lori Sane and Jan Kumar were too liberal. Well, she was a real conservative when she was just the opposite. So what are you going to do for this upcoming?
What do we do?
Right. Well, those are legitimate questions that we all need to answer. I'm probably a little bit more under the gun because I do interact with several thousand people on a weekly basis through my emails. Well, they used to be emails. Now it's just put it on the website because the email server services decided to cancel me.
Right. You know,
so it went that way, but I do interact with a lot of people, and I want to give them good information and good guidance and direction when they're looking for something from myself. Let me tell you a quick story, if I can
make
it quick. About 30 years ago, I was ready to give up on the Republican Party. This was long before I served in the legislature. I was active in some ways, but you know, it was just an average citizen, you might say. And I went to a friend who I had a great respect for their political judgment. And I said, when are we going to, start a party that really stands for the principles that we really care for? And this gentleman, this was back in 1991.
Okay.
He started to describe to me what occurred in 1994. He said, let me tell you how the Republicans are going to take over Congress. And it's when they can consolidate among a national platform for running for Congress. And it was called the Contract for America that Newt Gingrich, of course, went. And I walked away and I thought, well, I was asking him about a third party, and he was telling me about how the Republicans are going to take back Congress, which they hadn't held for 40 years. And here's what I drew from that, that we have a two-party system, and you can't just abandon them when things get tough and it's not going your way. But neither should you just put up with it either. So right. For me personally, and for what I'm going to do publicly for this campaign, I'm really not going to cast any stones against those Republicans who are running, who aren't very Republican in their values. I'm not going to get up and you know, really carry the flag for them. I figure, okay, that's the bet they made. They're going to have to stay in it, and figure out how to do it themselves. But I am going to find some candidates that I think really are exciting, and I'm going to get behind them. You know, I mean, honestly, that's step one. Here's step two. We've got to fix this open primary system.
Yes.
It's busted. Yes. You know, and we've all been working on trying to challenge this because it's also unconstitutional the way it's structured here in Colorado. But that's not for this election cycle. That's the battle we need to engage in after the November election. Yes. Between now and then, I'm jumping forward, working for the friends I can. Another big concern I have that a lot of people are, you know, want to kind of push aside is the whole election integrity issue. I'm not giving up on that either. So I'm pushing hard there.
Where do you find these good candidates? Because both, I mean, we're in the eighth, so you get Barb Kirkmeyer ran a dirty campaign and is really very far left, even though she hides it differently. We've got all the other, you got Pam Anderson, even, you know, Lyon Silas, I like him well enough, but very much of a left wing of the party, and Kellner, left wing of the party. There's almost, and local candidates, are the same way. They're very left of the party. Wait a minute. No, don't disagree.
I get to disagree with you a little bit.
No, be quiet. I don't know of any candidates. I mean, you could consider.
Erica Ardlin.
Heidi Ginnall is left wing. She is.
All right. Okay.
We can argue on the particulars on those. The candidates that I'm looking for, and I do serve as the executive director for the Republican Study Committee of Colorado, which is not a part of the legislature, that we are a caucus of the most conservative members of the Republican legislators. And so I'm going to look. Actually, I think we do have some folks out there, not enough, but I see a few folks that I so far have confidence in. Some Stephanie Luck is a good example.
She's good.
She has really been a champion this the last couple of years, and they've redistricted her, so she needs some attention. Mark Baisley is moving from the House to the Senate, and I think Mark's been saying, there's a young man. Man in his 30s somewhere,
you know, he must be out there.
I've lapped him once in that room.
Let me go back to I think what people across the country are beginning to understand, and again, and that is just the overall problems with the open primary, because, you know, the Republican establishment, and they're going to say, well, look, we have these moderate candidates, that's what people want, we can win. But I would then turn around and argue, yeah, but, you know, if you win, just getting somebody with an R by the name, I mean, then you get a Liz Cheney, you get a Lisa Murkowski. I mean, that's not a win. Yeah. And I think, like we've said before, you know, we have the Liberty Scorecard, you know, who have basically, it's the Republican conservative principles. And when you have a majority of Republican legislators getting Fs on there, I mean, they're not really Republicans. And I think, to me, I think I would push back against establishment people who would say, well, you know, a win. And I'm like, well, but it's if it's a, which the Democrats are doing in some cases, if it's an actual Democrat who's just calling themselves a Republican, that's not a win. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, I just think, you know, I agree with you. Don't fight it now, because there's work to be done now. But afterwards, this is something that I think that's got to change, or there will be no Republican Party.
No, there virtually
is. Well, not here in Colorado. I'll tell you, in some parts of the country, we've got a real winning team.
Right.
And so that's another thing. I have not given up on our country.
Right.
Well, I think nationally, the Republican Party is, I mean, you know, Donald Trump has endorsed, by and large, very conservative people. And, you know, we've got a lot of, you know, you've got Ron DeSantis, you've got lots of people. Nationally, you know, it isn't a Jeb Bush party. In Colorado, right. It is a Jeb Bush party.
Well, it is now. And, you know, the political process is not perfect. It's not linear. You know, there are a lot of battles you fight. You got to pick the battles that you can win or the ones that are important enough to literally die on that hill for. But beyond that, you know, I'm.
Uh-oh, they froze you. Hey, Kevin, can you, let's see, we might have lost him there. If you can keep trying to come. Oh, there you go. There you go. You froze for a second. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Glitch I've got, I guess.
No, that's wonders of modern technology. Yeah. Well, yeah.
But here's the problem with Colorado. I mean, there is no focal point for America First conservatives. I mean, other than your report, quite frankly, there's no website you can go to. And there's nothing that you kind of go, people could look, let's say in Adams County and kind of, wait a minute, Barb Kirkmeyer is an F on principles of liberty. And she is campaigning dirtily on saying every other people are liberals and she's a conservative, and people could say, hey, wait a minute, is that right or isn't it right?
That's a good point.
We all know that
it's an aggregating point.
Yeah. Aggregating point. And we've got, Voldemort, who's pouring millions and millions into a center left kind of Republican coalition, but we've got nothing to rally around, or at least
that we need better billionaires.
Well, we do need better billionaires. Now, you've got your Republican study group, which is more of a legislative one, but where do the Republicans who like MAGA, who like America First, who believe in borders and things?
Well, you find them in the grassroots activists.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of us there. The State Central Committee back in September, as you know, unanimously said, let's take the open primary to federal court. At the state assembly, we had great candidates that were picked, and just an incredible amount of energy there. The party's principles.
Yep. But you're freezing again.
Okay.
Well, let me that be, because you're starting to glitch, so that's all right. Let me just kind of let you, one final question for you, and then we can let you go. Where then, I agree with you, you know, that between now and November, there's a lot of key work that needs to be done, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done after November. And, you know, can we do it? Or should we all move after November, or should we just all move to Florida?
Go with the Nevilles down to Florida, because the Nevilles gave up on Colorado. They figured, well, it's never going to happen.
Well, I haven't given up, and we need leadership that will stand for the right things, and we pick.
Okay. I think, Kevin, listen, we're going to let you go. You're freezing there. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
If you can hear us, thank you for your time. You've been great. I highly recommend everybody check it out. You can just subscribe to it and you get an email that will update you about the,
it's great. He's great.
KevinLundberg.com. I know. And we keep talking about starting an aggregating thing, but that's just so folks know, that's just very difficult to do.
Not there. It just takes money.
That's right. It's like,
it's not hard at all.
All right. And then let's see that we've got all of these. Oh, so Johnny Johnson, who was running, that's right, District 5. We can, so Chuck,
Johnny
I am
Johnson.
Far right, Johnny for Colorado, House District 5.com.
Yay, get behind him.
From Dr. Donna.
Dr. Donna.
Believe moderate will work, and those like myself need to present the truth in a way like one would do in sales, represents the principles of the party, but in words that you, the words that those you're speaking with would resonate with. Thankfully, Mark has a great way with words, having represented folks as an attorney in court. Johnny Johnson says, I'm not backing down to get along. From Jim Jackson, we need to focus on the message and get unaffiliated voters to support our principles and those candidates. When people see the results from who they elected, like Sleepy Joe, we might have a chance. I agree. Oh, Dr. Dunn says, Mark's my campaign manager. And then Leo says, maybe if somebody convinced Andrew Momanoff to go Republican,
it'd probably be good.
The party could get, is he even still around?
So, sure,
well, you know, I think it's something that we just, you know, we'll keep talking about. And I think it is, I think come November, I think a lot of where we go depends on this. I think if with this slate of their perfect candidates, if the Republicans lose as soundly as they have all the other times they put candidates like this up there, then I think that.
Well, they have the real advantage. And that's why I think Voldemort was smart. And he poured tons of money into this primary season. A lot of money went out to unaffiliateds to get moderate candidates elected, and they didn't win by much. I mean, 6-9% in the governor of state race. And it's, you know, here in Adams County, it's the usual.
Well, what they do is sometimes the Republicans themselves do it. And as you said, sometimes you wonder if the Democrats are funding somebody,
in Adams County, you've got a person who's a political consultant who wants to run the party. He gets together with all the left wing of the party.
I just think that should be a conflict of interest. If you make your money.
I know, but they just found it not to be a conflict of interest because they're, you know.
Right.
And the left wing of the party, and they're slowly taking it over. And so you've got these candidates running for the House that are very moderate, and they think they're going to appeal the Democrats. They won't. It's discouraging. I mean, you know, the weekly meeting, monthly meetings will get smaller and smaller as more people get more disgusted by the.
Well, and here's what they don't get, because then the Democrats will then take over, right? It's
they
not like, well, exactly. I mean, so the Republicans think by going middle, right? Then whatever. So people don't really have a choice, right? And they think that, okay, so the meetings get smaller and smaller, and that's fine because yay, now we're in total control. Well, that's when the Democrats will swoop in and they'll just annihilate you even more, right? I mean, that's not a winning strategy. Maybe you can make some money as a consultant for the next election cycle or two, but in terms of the party, and that's not even go with, what about the future of the country and our children, right?
Oh, I mean,
if you want all kinds of the nonsense, there is reading a thing, some mother at a school district in, I forget, Texas or Oregon is like saying, hey, wait a minute, we have funding problems in our schools. Why are we paying for tampons in boys' bathrooms? Let's just knock this off, right? I mean, there is a lot at stake here. And, you know, I think that people, I do agree, would like support conservatives. What would conservative, you know, the traditional values, you know, making money, keeping your money, not spending it all on taxes, that kind of thing. So,
well, it's going to be, I mean, Voldemort is going to spend a fortune this election trying to get the state Senate to become at least partially Republican, a majority Republican, although at a very weak Republican that allowed Democrats to do their kind of like,
safe injection leap
program.
Right.
Yeah. Kevin Priola, I mean, he votes and gets on every Democratic one he can, and he's a Republican. And yeah. John Caldera talks about how we got to get Kevin Priola reelected. You know, oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, why? Why not just go ahead and elect a Democrat, right?
Well, because he works for a Democrat.
Well.
Or semi-Democrat. And it's I don't know. I'm kind of lost. I have to say I'm lost. I'm not going to spend huge amount of time and effort supporting people who I hate. Then again, I think Kevin Priola's, not Kevin, Kevin Lundgren's, Lundberg's thing. Find some people you can believe in.
Right.
But they're few and far between.
Yeah, well, right for them. But I do agree with him too. My thing is, and I know some people are going to disagree with me. There are a lot of people out there who feel, and to each their own, right? I'm going to vote third party. I'm not going to vote. Right now, I do think, even the worst Republican, given where the country is right now, is better than the best Democrat.
That's exactly what Democrats say. That's what Democrats say.
I know, and I know, and I understand that. And I know. I mean, it's a sort of a lesser of two evils, as I guess where I am. But well, I agree with Kevin. But then you look ahead and you say, okay, now we need to fix this. We need to change it.
You can't fix something that you don't fight against. You cannot fix something you support. So if you make sure that all the lefties get elected on the Republican side and then say we have to change this process, well, go ahead. We just got elected.
Well, we're not going to change anything. Again, I still hold to it'll be very interesting to see what happens in November.
And well, I don't know. This is the greatest red wave ever.
And if Colorado is swamped with blue,
maybe Colorado won't be swamped. Maybe they've now switched CD7 into almost a toss-up one, right. And that's
One thing. Hey, by the way, we got Sherry from Lakewood there. Hey, Sherry, thank you for calling in.
Hey, Sherry.
Happy Monday.
Hi. So, I don't know. I hope I'll sound coherent here.
That's all right.
You know, you talk about Republicans, but the problem, like right now with the thing that they have with the January 6th.
Right.
Well, globalist George W. Bush created the Patriot Act, right?
Right,
and
exactly.
That kind of paved the way for the New World Order, right? So they named it the Patriot Act, but I guess it was designed to take down the American Patriots.
Yes.
Right,
that
right.
got in the way of the elite.
Because
by doing that, it suspended habeas corpus, correct? And now you can say Americans are terrorists. So those people... Right. can be kept in jail forever, just throw the key away, because apparently they're terrorists.
Right. Well, you're right, and that's what happens. So, you're absolutely right. That's the danger of getting a Republican in there who's not a Republican, right? Who's just a uniparty deep state person.
Right. So when you're talking about values, values are everything. Like the guy who wants to run against Bennett, I really don't care. I understand, okay, a Republican, you get more Republican votes, but you also get double-crossed. And
right.
obviously, everybody talks about Roe v. Wade, but I don't see it as Roe v. Wade. I see it as states' rights. And he's not a guy that's going to support states' rights, let alone county rights, let alone maybe your taxes you pay to schools. You should have a say on what they're teaching your kids in the county.
Yeah.
And I don't see that he wants to support. I don't want someone that wants a big government, a big federal government. I want it smaller. The smaller,
he supports
the more you have
better.
As an individual a say.
Yeah. No, right. he supported Build Back, Biden's Build Back Better. I mean, he supported that and would have voted for that. So that tells you whatever you need to know about him. But,
Exactly. And so there's something I did want to tell you guys that I thought was pretty interesting news. And it kind of has to do with the guy you had on last week, because he was great with the Freedom of Information request that uncovered all those
Jay
relationships
Adams,
with the state election officials and the federal officials, how corrupt they are.
Right.
Well, did you see where the whistleblower leaked a treasure trove of documents and text messages to the Gateway Pundit?
Yes.
And they show the incredible exculpatory evidence proving the Department of Justice was aware that a group that indicted the Proud Boys, they were innocent and they knew it, and yet they prosecuted them anyway.
What Sherry's talking about is the FBI, a whistleblower released all the documents, and they showed that the FBI had an informant in with the Kansas City Proud Boys, who are one of the groups that have been indicted, and that the guy was telling them all along. Now, these guys they're not organized, they don't have anything to do with any kind of insurrection, and they weren't the ones doing the bad stuff. And they knew that, just like you said, Sherry.
Didn't matter.
They indicted him and arrested him anyway.
They're ignoring it, they're hiding evidence, and they're denying that federal agents and individuals are acting on behalf of the federal, they fabricate evidence, and it's like, and that's Republicans too. And that's where we can't have a uniparty. We really need, it has to be values. That's really, it has
to be. Well, I think it is. I think it's come down anymore to you have the uniparty and then you have the Make America Great people, right? I mean, the uniparty values, which is just power and corruption, and they don't care.
And all virtually all Republicans that won the nominations with the help of Democrats and unaffiliated belong to the uniparty.
Right.
And then there are a few, there are a few out there, but boy, there are very few out there in Colorado now that got through all the money spent by Voldemort to get elected the uniparty candidates.
Yep. Hey, Sherry, listen, but let's
go. And the thing is, I have no idea. Okay, I know it's a fact. It's been proven. Anybody that can open their eyes, the election was corrupt. Okay?
Yes.
Now, there's nothing that indicates to me the primary wasn't corrupt. I don't know that because nothing has been done. Nothing. No kind of audit. Nothing has been done to show that it was an honest election. So the chances of the November one being honest are pretty small.
I agree with what Kevin Lundberg said. Election integrity is still crucial. And, you know, we can't be fooled by the psyops that they try to throw at us, like election denier, right? They try to do all that kind of nonsense and more evidence.
But you have your former party chair and leading congressman who says the election was perfect. Colorado is the gold standard. Anybody who denies it is crazy.
Right.
Are you supposed to send your money into him?
Right.
Go help him get reelected? I mean,
yeah.
It's amazing. It's a difficult one. I mean, the Republicans, I think, would have had a great chance this coming election if a few grassroots had won. And so you'd have both. You can work for everything because I like my guys, you like your guys. But the fact that the conservatives and the grassroots were totally shut out is really, really tough.
And discouraging.
Really tough.
All right. Hey, Sherry, thank you for your call. Go ahead.
It says to me that the people that, how can I say this? The ones that are being elected and that think that it's a gold standard, well, you know, maybe they like the way those elections run and those machines run because maybe for them they win because of the corruption also.
Well, they win one way, shape, or form. Hey, Sherry, thank you for the call. Appreciate it as always.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Wanted to switch gears a little bit to talk about your latest obsession, our latest obsession, but feel free. I mean, if you want to comment, unmute yourself, go ahead.
Or if you have some good candidates in addition to Dr. Donna Walker and Johnny Johnson and, you know, tell us about it
and we'll help support them. But so we have been lately, and it's been kind of fun to watch this happening. We have been watching, binge watching a show on Amazon Prime, The Terminal List. And it's got Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt is Guardians of the Galaxy. He's Star-Lord. He was in Jurassic Park. I love Chris Pratt. You know, I'd have to concede he's probably not the world's greatest actor. We don't care, but he's good as far as. So The Terminal List, actually, I read the book long before the movie came out.
Yeah, because you can say, well, doesn't this happen? I go, how do you know that?
Yeah, I'm like, hey, this seems familiar. So it's about, I won't give away no spoilers here, but it's about a Navy SEAL guy, okay? And he goes to war against the bad, corrupt people. And
the uniparty people.
The uniparty people.
There's a list of Republican rhinos.
And, the book was written by a guy named Jack Carr. I really recommend you. Well, I mean, if you like Navy SEAL kind of movies, if you don't, then you won't like this. But it's been funny to watch because, I mean, and you're the one who normally in this relationship, Chuck is the one who always reads the reviews and the critics. And I'm like, well, I like the movies. And every time a critic says it's a great movie, I like, you know, I think it probably is bad. But the critics hate this movie and the audiences love it, right?
Yeah, well, that's the difference. I mean, the top critics got 26% of them liked it, which is incredibly low rating. 95% of the audience liked it, which is great. And it's just doing gangbusters on Amazon.
It's the number one streaming thing.
It's a wonderful one.
And the critics keep freaking out. So we want to play. So Jack Carr, the author, and then he helped produce the movie, went on Tucker Carlson. And they were just so keep in mind, every time you get down about the uniparty and about the Republican
Party, we have people with lists.
That's right.
They're out killing them all.
Yeah. No, there are way more of us than there are of them. And we will win. We will. I promise you that. But this is just because this is just an example of it, right? They tell us all this movie sucks and it's horrible and it's got things. values in it that are bad, conservative values. And people are like, we love it. That's and they've already starting on season two. So if we could please, Thomas, play the Jack Carr soundbite. This is Jack Carr on Tucker Carlson.
Falls right in line with everything that I understand about the current culture and climate in America right now. And it seems to have triggered quite a few of these critics. And I have a couple examples here. Daily Beast titled their review, "The Terminal List is an unhinged right-wing revenge fantasy," which is odd because right, left, conservative, liberal are not even mentioned in the show. But I think it may be because the protagonist is competent with weapons and tactics. He's strong. He holds those in power accountable. And that could be unsettling for some, particularly some maybe senior members of the military who have failed upwards over the last 20 years. They go on to write, "There is some serious danger to the Terminal List pandering to red state viewers with routine references to beer, guns, country music, and hunting." The Daily Beast does not like those things. It does not sound like it is much fun over there, but the 95% viewer rating, audience rating, makes it all worth it. We didn't make it for the critics. We made it for those in the arena. We made it for the soldier, sailor, airman, and marine that went downrange to Iraq and Afghanistan so they could sit on the couch and say, hey, these guys put in the work. They put in the effort to make something special and make a show that speaks to them. And that 95% rating lets me know that we at least got close. And then one more line here. It's from TV Line. It says, "The Fugitive meets SEAL Team meets a Don't Tread on Me truck decal. We're served up huge helpings of red meat masculinity and lots of American flags." They don't like American flags over there. Game Rant, Rant even cites Revolutionary War era Don't Tread on Me flags as a negative. So it's odd that both Game Rants and TV Line had to go back to the 1700s to take the side of the British in their reviews. I found that quite telling.
I mean, you got to know, it's dangerous. The move, the terminal, that's just, it's a war. Well, it's a good show. But normally it's not dangerous.
When Julie picks out movies, Rev and I have to go elsewhere. we either force her downstairs to look at the thing or otherwise. And she put this one on. Oh, no, it's mom's pick. And I mean, wait a minute. This is good. This is great. This is well done. This is one of the usual idiotic ones that she picks.
And, right, and this is where Leo says, how many critics like the Blues Brothers? Case in point. Well, you know, yeah, that's the thing. I have to say anymore, I don't even pay attention now. And I'll be honest.
You never did.
No, I never did. But on both sides anymore.
No, it's not both sides.
Well, but I mean, the conservative viewers, I mean, I've just decided from now on, I'm just going to watch the movie and see for myself if I like it, right? Now, I love the Thor movie, so I'll watch the new Thor movie. Now, some people say, the woke critics say, yay, it's woke. The conservative critics say, we hate it, it's woke. And I'm like, well, if it's got Thor in it, I'll check it out at the very least. But it is so funny that, again, they can't just say the movie was stupid, it was slow, it was too long. They say it is dangerous. It has red meat, masculinity, mentions beer. Good God, how much more dangerous can we be than mentioning beer?
And there's another one out there, The Old Man with Jeff Bridges.
Yes.
And it's also just great. And we can't binge watch all that together, but every week when it comes out, we love to watch that.
Charlene, I'd like to hear both of you guys' top 10 movies. Oh, they would be very diverse. We'll work on that. Maybe on Party Friday.
They will not overlap. There will be no overlapping. And if she has one that's on my list, I will seriously consider whether I was under the influence of something while watching it.
And that will do that. Maybe on this Party Friday, we can do that. And everybody can think about their top movies too. So there's that. But the thing is this wokeness, though, is going crazy. I wanted to talk about this because this kind of goes to what we were talking about, where the weaponization of things. So, you know, as you know, Chuck is a giant golfer. So we've had the Saudis come up with that. I guess they said the live.
Yeah, it stands for Roman numerals for 54.
Okay, it's a whole new golf tournament. The PGA is all upset and they're telling the players, some of the top players are crossing over and they say, well, if you're going to play in that one, you can't play in that. It's a big war. So today, coincidentally, the same week that Joe Biden is going to go to Saudi Arabia to beg
to
for oil.
Help them with their golf tour.
Right. So the Department of Justice has launched an investigation into the PGA Tour for some kind of colluding to keep
antitrust.
Yeah, an antitrust kind of thing. So he's going to Saudi Arabia to beg for oil, which France already told us they're not going to give us anymore, Joe. They don't have the capacity. But he's like, I know this will make the Saudis happy.
Yeah.
Let's have the Department of Justice start investigating the PGA.
Yeah, get rid of those PGA guys and get the Saudis in charge.
You know, maybe we could put them. They could have Liz Cheney could have a new congressional committee into some of that, and they could put the PGA Tour guy in prison, put him behind jail for the next year or so until oil. I mean, talk about weaponization.
A wedding trial.
Of all the things going on in this country, what we really need is for the Department of. I mean, these are golfers who are making millions of dollars. It's not like there's some sort of poor, you know, person who's in a coal mine talking about unionizing, right? These are multimillionaires.
Not all of them.
Well, not all, but still. And they play golf. This is what they do for a living. They play golf for a living.
That's a tough sport. That's a tough demanding sport.
We need the Department of Justice to investigate those horrible, corrupt people, you know, just coincidentally when I'm going to Saudi Arabia.
Solomon Al-Mondi is going that away. Thank God. Doing something worthwhile, making sure the Saudis control golf.
And then another thing I wanted to talk about then too, and this all ties in again with why everything sucks, but it doesn't suck. There's hope. Sri Lanka. I don't know if you guys have been following in Sri Lanka. When we have some video of it, and this is like what a real insurrection looks like.
This is when the people are not happy.
Yeah, but in Sri Lanka, why don't you explain what's, I mean,
collapse of the economy. It's the total collapse of the economy. They don't have enough foreign reserves to import fuel, food, which they need, as well as many other items.
Well, they were growing it just fine on their own, right?
Well,
until the president said, it's a total one.
But then that he decided that he had actually run on this in 2019, saying, I guess his name's Rajaspanka. And he had run on over a 10-year period, going organic, being more Western, being, you know, having no
green.
No genetically modified ones, no fertilizer. And so then he decided, hey, our balance, our payments is awful. So I'll just impose it now. And that'll help our balance of payments, because now we won't be buying all this stuff from India and elsewhere.
Minor problem. One needs fertilizer to grow crops.
They went green and they had the green methods and the crops just
catered. 30% reduction.
Well, that's the start.
Yeah.
That was just the start. Then they promised to pay all these people. They'd hoodwink, but they have no money to pay them. And so the whole kind of people are starving. I mean, the economy
inflation,
is totally
54%.
54%. And these guys, this party, and he were elected. I mean, nobody claims the election was rigged, but the people didn't like the result.
No, and here's it. So we'll show you. This is what a real insurrection looks like. Thomas, if we could play, this is just a quick video clip from over the weekend when the people of Sri Lanka stormed the presidential palace. If we could play Sri Lanka, please. It's kind of hard to see there. But what you got is literally thousands and thousands of people storming the Capitol so that they resign. The current government resigned.
Well, they resigned while heading to a naval ship to get them out as fast as possible. They decided to take the prime minister's residence and burn that to the ground.
But you combine that, so we've got similar protests going on. We're in the Netherlands, right? Mm-hmm, they told the farmers there, okay, because, you know, because of nitrogen, that's bad. So you have to cut fertilizers. You have to cut your livestock products significantly.
Right.
And then what they've got in India, Albania, Portugal, all over the world, this is going on, where they're telling people, okay, hey, look, you know, the government, so it's in order to be green and for the new liberal world order to take place, there's going to have to be a little bit of suffering. Mm-hmm. And people are like, right, but we can't eat. There's not enough to eat.
And destroying our farms. Yeah, don't worry about it.
You know, I mean, what they did, and I think the good thing is people are, when you start, like, when people don't have enough to eat, they notice, right? And they...
Well, how not enough to eat, but it is destroying their farming, which is one of the, you know, very successful industries. They also destroyed the airlines. They took the leading airport, which is the third one in Europe, and said, no, we got to cut down the number of flights, cut down on everything. Now, when you cut down the number of flights, it's cutting down a number of people coming to Holland, et cetera, et cetera. And Mark Rudd, who's the head of the Danish VVP party, which is a center-right party, has gone totally green, totally woke. And it's just amazing.
Well, and in Texas, Texas today, I was reading is telling people, so they rely a lot on solar and wind.
That's smart.
And they were saying, hey, great news, guys. We're right where we need to be on solar. However, it hasn't been very windy in Texas lately. So we don't have enough, like literally, we don't have enough energy to supply our power grid. So we want everyone, I know we're in the middle of a heat wave and all, but to turn down your air conditioners.
Turn them off.
So Texas, so, it's like, I don't know, maybe if they had natural gas or something that would work, but they don't have enough.
They have plenty of oil down there.
Yeah, one would think, but they don't have enough wind. It hasn't been windy enough. So it's not producing apparently near enough. So here's the thing. This is what gives me hope. So people are watching, in spite of what the critics tell them, people are watching the terminal list, right? People are waking up and saying, we don't want to go green. What are you talking about? We can't use fertilizer. If we don't use fertilizer, we can't grow crops. If we can't grow crops, we can't eat. If we don't have fuel to get the crops to the place it processes them and to the stores, et cetera, et cetera, everything falls apart. Suddenly inflation is at 54%. And then you have people doing a real insurrection.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. The own little one here, the New York Times has the most recent poll giving Joe Biden a 33% approval rating. I mean, that's amazing. According to Civicus, he's 31% here in Colorado. So maybe it's a time for uniparty from the other side of the uniparty, so nothing really ever changes here in Colorado.
Well, but and here's amazing. yeah, like Dr. Donna says, planned starvation will get people upset. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Charlene, how does one tell a Western-sponsored color revolution from an anti-World Economic Forum revolution?
Yeah.
And then she has this idea: send Biden to Texas to blow some hair. Yeah, well, he's busy defending.
Well, they got George Bush down there.
They got George Bush, exactly.
Jeb Bush and the whole Bush family.
I think, like you said, I mean, even 64% of the Democrats don't want Joe Biden to run again. 2/3 of the independents don't want him to run again. And I'm thinking a lot of those
independents. Well, that's only 1 point difference.
Those were the Democrats hate him, but the independents also hate him. And the independents, I think, are not necessarily going to be fooled, maybe, but by another Democrat running, right? A Democrat will be like, we just don't want Joe. We'll take another Democrat.
Or we'll take one of Colorado's Republicans.
Here's what I think happened. I think that they were kind of, as we, Jay Christian Adams was talking about, they had this plot, the scheme to slowly but surely take over the election process and in a way that benefited them. They were doing that. It was all going along. COVID, two things came along that scared them. Number one, Donald Trump terrified them. And the fact that he was actually standing up for people and people were responding to it and the economy was better and everything was getting good. After Barack Obama told us, no, you just have to get used to everything sucking for the new liberal world order.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we had Jay Christian Adams on, and he was talking about how he warned the Republican Party. He warned, in particular, the Trump campaign one, and he didn't want to identify who he had warned because he said, just look it up. So I just looked it up, and it's really Bill Stepien. And Bill Stepien does not believe the election was stolen in 2020, considers himself one of the normal people. So he didn't believe it was being stolen when it was being stolen or after it.
As it was in the process. Well, but I think, though, the Democrats overreached, right? I think with COVID, it shifted everything into high gear. They used it all. But now they're trying, and same thing with Joe Biden, like, you know, the Green New Deal. It's like, okay, well, we're just going to cut oil production. And we think that people, number one, are going to buy that, oh, it's Putin's fault, or that number two, that they just have to sacrifice for the new world order. But it's one thing to like sacrifice a little bit. It's another thing when you don't have enough food to feed your family. And I know the conservative treehouse keeps saying, guys, this is coming, right? What's happening there? Now, the United States, you know, I mean, we produce.
Well, we can do more green farming. We'll get there.
Well, I go back to, it's not a coincidence that Bill Gates owns more farmland than anyone else in the world, right? In the United States. And then China is next under there, right?
He believes, as Jim Jackson indicated, that the hidden agenda of the green movement is to reduce the population in half. Dead people are a good thing to them, and that's why Bill Gates will now control all the farmland.
That's right. And then Sandra says Soylent Green, remember that? Well, yeah, now they actively are talking about, you know, go ahead and eat bugs. Yeah, and the rich is ready to pay $15 for gas. Well, exactly. My guess is that if you're rich, some of these elites are telling us what to do and flying in jets all over to the Davos conventions and things like that. You have no idea what gas price. I mean, they're not getting out and filling their car in, right, where they have to put their pin number into the thing, right? They aren't using their King Super card to see if they can get a discount. They don't know. Some guy pulls up in an air-conditioned vehicle. They get in, whisks them to the airport where they get on their private jet. They don't know, and they don't care. But unfortunately for them, I think they did overreach, and they tried to slam this through without anything in the middle, right? There has to be some sort of transition. You can't just say no more oil and gas, no more coal, no more natural gas. We're going to all use wind, except for it's not very windy in Texas today. So that means turn down your air conditioning.
Turn it off. Be like frontier days.
Yeah. You know, and I guess you can't charge your electric vehicle because you can't do that either. I mean, they had no intermediate ground, and they thought that somehow, I think because they just live in such an echo chamber of their own, that we would all be like, well, it's for the new liberal world order. I guess we just have to suffer.
Chuck, wasn't the Commerce Clause Supreme Court decision based on food production? I suppose so.
The
food production is going, you know, you can't prevent interstate commerce.
But here's what they're doing. See, here's what they're doing that's so tricky, though, is the, and this is what J. Christian Adams was so talking about was so important, because you've got the Democrat strategists, you've got private businesses, right? So the government can't censor us, right? The government can't tell YouTube, kick them off of YouTube, but the government can go into
tell
the
YouTube to tell them.
I mean, they can. And so that's, I think, what's happening is you're seeing, and this is really alarming, you're seeing banks now and lending institutions starting to look at companies and countries and organizations that support diversity and that support these green
social economic.
Yeah. So, exactly. So they have a, you know, like you have your credit score, which you would think was based on, do you pay your bills on time? No, not anymore.
Right thinking.
It's based on right thinking. And so that's how they're going to control it. And, you know, what you heard Kevin Lundberg, right? I imagine he was using MailChimp or something like that, kicked him off. They won't let him do emails anymore, right? So the government has gone into, and these are the reason it's working is, and I've said this before, I don't think the government isn't controlling these global elite corporations. The global elite corporations are telling the government it's all, it's like this anymore, right? Can't tell the difference at all.
All right, Julie, well, our time is up.
Okay, I want to talk, we're going to have Roy Johnston. We had him on, months ago. He's got a great book out where he talks about the Biden administration, how dangerous it is. I mean, it's kind of depressing, but he has hope in it. We're going to have him because he's had an update there too.
Right.
And we'll start working on our movie list for Friday too.
Oh my God.
Remember, you can catch everything at chuckandjulie.com. Love to have you. You can subscribe, get our newsletters, get Substack, Rumble for free. You can also be a paid subscriber. We sure appreciate that. And thank you to everybody on Zoom. Chuckandjulie.com is the place to go. Thank you, Thomas.
And thank you, Kevin. We'll have to work on that connection thing, but it happens.
Moderate
it happens.
We'll see
you. All right. Take care, everybody.